He molded and built a small lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made a seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and he sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan, and he grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mocked. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan, and he grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross.
A lot has taken place since last Sunday. Last Sunday we gathered here and celebrated Palm Sunday, and we were waving our palms, but now we see the palms are withered and dried up. Tuesday evening we celebrated the Passover here at the church, remembering the Passover of the death angel when Moses led the people out of Egypt. And Thursday night we gathered here and celebrated the Last Supper, the time that Jesus gathered around the table right before he was going to be crucified, and he wanted to speak to his disciples, pour into them one more word of wisdom, one more word of encouragement. That's when he took the bread and broke it, and took the cup and drank from it, and reminded them, this is my body, this is my blood that's been given up for us. He made a new covenant with his disciples. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Shortly after the supper, he went out into the garden to pray with his disciples. While he was there, that's when the Roman soldiers came and arrested him. See, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed our Lord. He was arrested and taken in front of Pilate for a hearing. He was arrested on trumped-up charges, or really he was arrested on a bunch of lies. There's nothing to charge our Lord with. He was nothing but love. But people hated him for speaking the truth. Pilate could not find any reason to find Jesus guilty on anything. But in order to please the people, to please the crowd, he ordered the soldiers to whip Jesus. And this is where this morning we'll catch up in the scriptures. In John 19, we see then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to him and gave him blows in the face. And Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in Jesus." Jesus therefore came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." When therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." So he then delivered him over to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him. And with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. And Pilate wrote an inscription also and put it on the cross, and it was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said, therefore, to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that they divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary the Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciples took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And Luke 23:45 records a great earthquake took place at this time. And the veil that hung in the temple, the veil that separated man from God, the veil that only the high priest could go behind once a year for the atonement of our sins, that veil was ripped in half from the top to the bottom. No longer was man separated from God. No longer did man have to go to the priest to go to the Father. Now man could go to the Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Now they took Jesus down from the cross and placed him to a borrowed tomb. Jesus knew he wasn't going to be there long. Also, the rumor was that Jesus stated in 3 days he would come back to life, raise himself up. And just to make sure no one stole his body, to make this rumor come true, the Romans put some guards around his tomb to make sure no one came and stole Jesus. Now in John 20, we'll start with the scriptures here and catch up with Mary. That now on the first day of the week, which is the third day after Jesus was crucified, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth and the other disciples. They were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own home, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. She beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around, and behold, Jesus standing there. And he did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them that I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he has risen."
The gates and doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking in to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. No one was there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us know where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body, it's not there. We both ran toward the garden and John ran on ahead. We found that stone and an empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen him crucify him, then I saw him die. Back in house to house again, my guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I ever had just melted into peace. 'Cause the tomb was empty and he was alive. He's not dead, our God's alive, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Amen.
Yes. He's alive.
Give the Lord a hand. Praise God. He's alive. He's driving in this morning, and I kept thinking, okay, is this it? Well, I'm waiting to see that lightning come across us. Wonder how close is he to come and get us, guys? And time is getting shorter. And he's been excited, and part of me, inside of me, I'm so on fire. I know he's coming. And the other part of me, I don't want him to come yet, because I've got loved ones I want to bring into the kingdom. But you know what? Just continue to stay faithful. We see day after day, we see more people coming to the Lord. We see them accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. What you guys are doing, you're not doing in vain. They crucified Jesus for telling people the love of God and for caring for one another. Ask Jesus, he'll tell you it was worth it. And same with us, guys. Continue to sow the seed of the Lord. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one by one. Oh, Father in heaven, it's a privilege to gather in your house this morning with all my brothers and sisters, God. I know it's earlier than normal, but man, now you know we found out when I get up at 5 o'clock this morning, he's already up. And he said, praise your name. And Father, it's our privilege today, and joyfully, God, we come in here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And Father, return back to you a portion of what you've given to us. So we ask that you just come, God, and receive our praises this morning that we gave you. And Father, the testimonies that we spoke of you. And God, now come receive the finances, Father God, our tithe and offering that we return back to you today. We just ask that your blessing be upon it, Lord. Your wisdom be attached to it. We may continue to use this, Father God, to encourage one another here in the fellowship and continue to reach out to those who walk in the darkness, that we may shine the light, just like someone shining the light on us one day, that we may do it also to others, Father, and bring them into your kingdom. And God, we just ask also to give us direction about what we retain in our pockets, God, that we may use it wisely, not use it against you, Lord. And if we'd ever step out of line with anything you've given us, Father, we just actually get our attention. Our desire is to please you in everything you've given us, whether it be our speech, whether it be our eyesight, whether it be our finances, our health, anything you've given us, God, may we always use it for your glory. And we do give you the praise and glory in your house this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.